Amen. And he always leads us, and we operate in wisdom. And that's wise. Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and verse number 7. Very familiar chapter. It ought to be if you've been saved for a long period of time. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. Let's stand tonight as we read God's holy word. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to look at verse number 7. And before reading the scripture, I want to ask you a question. I want you to be thinking about some things. That is, how do you view yourself? If someone came up to you and maybe you were just walking around and someone came and stuck a microphone in your face and asked you a question, do you consider yourself a success? What would your answer be? Well, I hope by the time we finish this sermon, you'll know if you're a success or not, or what it takes to be a success. Let's get some help from our Heavenly Father. And by the way, that could happen. That could happen. That's, my wife and I, we joked, like we said, it seemed like as if cameras just follow us everywhere. I mean, it just seems like that. And I could tell you good night, so many stories just about that alone. And you don't know what somebody might ask you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have tonight just to be here in your house. Father, we don't take that for granted. And Father, you spared our lives one more time and allowed us to be able to assemble here. And I pray, Father, you'll help me to be able to share truth from this pulpit tonight as we try service after service. And Father, help us to receive truth and to see ourselves the way that you desire to see us. And so, Father, please just have your way in this service tonight, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, you may be seated. You know, sometimes as believers, if we aren't maybe having certain things in our life, then we can look in our lives, then we can think of ourselves sometime as a failure or not really being a success. And that's because sometimes we will measure ourselves with the same yardstick that the world measures a successful person. And see, the book of Hebrews chapter 11 has been called what is known as the Hall of Fame of Faith. Now, I know this is basketball season, other sports, hockey, and so forth. In order to really get into like the Basketball Hall of Fame or the Football Hall of Fame or the Hockey Hall of Fame or whatever, in any kind of athletic event, you have to have achieved something in that area that would make you stand out a little different than the others. And so the world would measure success by a certain set of goals, standards, rules, achievements. And but the child of God, we don't measure success in that same way. Here in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we have a man that was successful. And when you look at this man's life, I believe that the majority of lost people, and I think I'm safe in saying that if they have any idea what the Bible says, most of them, most lost people, they may not be able to tell you something about even Peter or Paul, but most people know something about Noah. Even if it's just the fact that he was that guy who built the ark, they know something about him. Well, Noah was an individual who was a success. I preached a number of messages on Noah. I showed how he was a successful father, and on we could go. But I'm going to draw some things from his life tonight and apply them to our life to show how we can use his life as a measuring stick as to whether or not we are successful. Because the world views success by the type of house that you have, the size, square footage of your home. If you live in a 4,000-square-foot home, people consider you a success. God doesn't measure it the same way. Matter of fact, some people living in a 4,000-square-foot home may not consider themselves a success when they look at that mortgage payment that they have to make. Sometimes the world will measure success by the type of car or SUV that you might drive or how much money you make if you have a 6 or 7-digit income. Sometimes the world will measure success by how much notoriety you have achieved or the type of clothes that you wear or the kind of handbag that you have, whether it's a Gucci or a Uchi or whatever kind of handbag you might have. They measure success by that. Sometimes they'll measure it success by the circle of friends that you run with. You know, in other words, you sometimes it's we can be considered important people by the kind of people we are associated with. Well, God does not define success in that way. He defines it in a different way. And we can look at this man's life and draw some things from Noah's life so that we ourselves can be successful people. Don't you want to be a successful person? I mean, you don't want to end your life and say, you know, something, I was not a success. You want to be a successful person. So now, what is a successful person? I'm going to give you a few things tonight. Number one, a successful person is a saved person. A successful person is a saved person. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7, notice. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah was a child of God. And see, it does not matter what a person achieves in this world. If a person is not saved, then that person is a flop. They're a failure. The world may say that they are a success, but if you are saved tonight, you're a success. I could end the service right there and say you are a successful person because we know how this thing is going to end. We know how it's going to end. Think about it. What if God gave you a choice tonight? God would say, he wouldn't do this, but trade in your salvation and I'll let you live to be 150 years old. You will live in a 5,000 square foot home. You will make $10 million a year without having to work. Your business will just bring it in. All you've got to do is show up annually, handle the board meeting for about 10 minutes, and then go home and live on that $10 million for 1 year. And then God said that everybody in America and around the world will know who you are. They will have your name. They will actually carve your image out on Mount Rushmore. There'll be five. That was six, but five out there on Mount Rushmore. All you've got to do is just trade in your salvation. Now, how many of us in this building tonight would trade in our salvation if we could live for 150 years and have all that? I see your head shaking all over the building. That means you wouldn't do it, right? So that means you are a successful person if you are saved. Don't ever take it for granted that you are saved. You ought to thank God every day that you're not here riding a bicycle or peddling things or trying to work your way to heaven. If you know that heaven is your home, you've got something to rejoice about regardless of what you're going through tonight. You're a success. You're a success. If I had died before my 20 and a half birthday, before I trusted Christ as my Savior, even though I did a lot in the Marine Corps, I would have been burning in hell tonight. If you're saved, you're a success. Noah was a saved person. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he'll gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Thank God tonight if you know that you're saved. A successful person is a saved person. Secondly, a successful person will do the will of God. If you're doing the will of God for your life, you are a successful person. A successful person will do the will of God. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Do you know part of God's will was for you to be here tonight? Look at Genesis chapter 6. Notice verse 12 down through verse number 14. Genesis chapter 6, notice verse 12 down through verse number 14. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. In other words, you make sure that thing is sealed tight on the outside, sealed tight on the inside. Notice verse number 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. The Bible says, I got to read that again. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Noah lived in a society that didn't want anything to do with God. They act like as if their lives were totally impervious to the word and from the word that God would share. They operated like somebody who didn't want anything to do with God, and God even said that their hearts were evil continually. But yet Noah lived in that kind of environment, and Noah did what God commanded him to do. He did the will of God for his life. You know, I was thinking about something, and I'm going to make a little sideline here. I emphasize that word all, and I emphasize how the ark was pitched within and without with pitch. When God commands somebody to do something, God wants them to do it all the way and to the best of their ability. This past Sunday night, my wife and I were watching the History Channel. And they've got a Bible thing on the History Channel. Anybody else seen it, saw it beside me? I sat there and I just was knocking holes all in that thing. Holes all in it. I mean, they got Noah on this ark and water just coming all through, gaping holes all in the side. I can see seams in that thing. And I said, that's not what the ark looked like. Now, I didn't stand up like that and say it like that, but that's what I said inside. And my wife and I were talking about it just right there. I said, that's ridiculous. I said, that's not how the ark was. That ark was made. It was sealed on the outside, sealed on the inside. That looked like something a third grader could have put together. Anybody else notice that beside me? Slip your hand in the air. All right, so we got one, two, three. All right, four. Amen. All right, five. All right, so several of you notice that beside me. And as a matter of fact, the whole time I was watching that thing, I was just picking it apart. Picking it apart. Picking it apart. They had so much stuff wrong in it, and they were supposed to get experts to tell them how to do it. Like Moses. Like he didn't even know who Aaron was. You know what I'm saying? Like he didn't even know who Aaron was. Then he had him coming back to Egypt. Aaron met him out there when he was over there at the burning bush. Last time I watched them shows, I get halfway upset. I say, get it right, amen. I've watched some. They had Joseph, not on this one, but they had Joseph on one. And when they put Joseph in the prison, Joseph cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I said, good night. I said, they didn't mean to edit all that. They'd run it through me and let me edit it. Amen. But Noah did the will of God, and what God commanded Noah to do, Noah did it. Noah was a success. Why? Because he did the will of God. Listen, you may never live in a $5,000 home. You just may never. You may never drive a brand new luxury car. You may never become famous or travel with the upper strata of society. But if you do what God's will is for your life, you are a success. Don't measure your success by the kind of car you drive. Don't measure your success by the kind of clothes you wear. Don't measure your success with the same yardstick that the world does. Measure it according to God's word. And if you are doing God's will, you are a success. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 puts it this way. You don't have to turn there. It says, and the world passeth away. Literally, the world is passing away. And the lust, literally, the desires thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8. The psalmist there said, then said I, lo, I am come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 50. Jesus said, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. God's will is important. And Noah was successful because Noah did the will of God. And when you do the will of God, you are a successful person. Young people, I've challenged you often. You got to be praying, God, what is your will for my life? What do you want me to do with my life? Adults, we got to be praying, God, what is your will for me? And if we do what God has revealed, God will reveal more. More. Genesis chapter 6. Notice verse 7 down through verse number 9. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. See, when we walk with God on a daily basis, doing what God has commanded us to do, then God can call us to do something that's even greater than what we're doing right now. But what we have to do is do what we know is the will of God right now. I could stop and preach on that for the remainder of the service. I won't. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This verse doesn't say for everything, but it says in everything give thanks. And sometimes right in the middle of something, we just need to thank God, because things could always be worse. And there's something, there are two things that I found, that if we do these two things, God reveals his will, seem like in a faster manner than other things. One of them is just faithfully attending church. That sounds like as if it's just so minute, but I'm telling you, it is very deep. Just faithfully attending church, whether you feel like it or not. Just attending church, God will begin to move on your heart. You begin to hear truth. And see, a lot of times what we have to do is understand that when we come to church, it's never supposed to be like a smorgasbord. It's not supposed to be like a Ryan's or a K&W, where we just say, okay, you know something, I want a little bit of that, but I don't want that. Okay, I want a little bit of this, but I don't want that. Okay, I want some of this, but okay, no, I don't want that. And we put on our plates what we want and just excuse. No, when we come to church and we come on a faithful basis, I said this often, but every time we come, we ought to say, God, speak to me. Whether I want to hear it or not, God, speak to me. Whether my heart is right with you or not, speak to me so my heart can get right. And when you come to God's house, God will have something for you. It may be the whole sermon. It may be just one little thing. Matter of fact, somebody probably got something just now. Just now. See, it can be one little thing, but God knows. But just being faithful to God's house, I'm talking about faithful, and then just being faithful to witness for Christ. I found those two things seem to bring about God's will in your life faster than anything else. I've told you a number of times, the majority of the major decisions that I've made in my life have been made while I was in God's house. I probably don't need to do this. I think most of you know my story. I could just call on somebody and you come up here and tell it. Amen. I was saved in 1982. But I could have been saved in church. But the church that I was in South Carolina, I came forward to get saved, but nobody knew how to tell me how to get saved. So God had to get me away from that place so that somebody could get me the gospel so I could respond to it. That was in 1980. In 1982, I was attending, we were at our church. And of course, for the three services a week that we were at our church. But then our pastor said that his brother was going to be preaching a revival at another church in another town close by, kind of like going from here to Kernersville. And so we went another night to a revival meeting at that church. And while I was there, because I was getting close to getting out of the Marine Corps, but I didn't know which church to attend in South Carolina. So I said, well, what I'll do is I'll just
I'll just go there once I get out of the Marine Corps and just start looking around and find a good church. Back in those days, that was BC, before computers. Now you can go on websites and find some things and so forth. But we just had to kind of, you know, you had to kind of go to that area and look. But right out, while I was there in that meeting, my pastor's brother, and we struck up a conversation afterward. After he finished preaching, we struck up a conversation. And I told him, I said, I'm getting ready to get out of the Marine Corps in a few months. He said, where are you going? He said, I told him I'm going back to Sumter, South Carolina. He said, I know a church in Sumter, South Carolina. He said, Cherryvale Baptist. He said, matter of fact, he said, that church, he said, you've got all kind of races that worship together, black and white. And so right in church, God gave me what I needed. And that was a church that I joined, a church that I stayed there until God called us away to go off to Bible college. In 1983, I answered the call to preach while in church. Matter of fact, I was preaching in church, but I wasn't calling to preach. I was calling to share. My pastor thought I was called, but I didn't think I was. But he would get me up and let me preach, share. I didn't call it preaching. He called it preaching. I called it sharing because I tell you something about preaching. You have to know that God has called you to do this. Because if God ain't called, you don't want to preach. And I've never been one that want to get up before people. I just haven't. That just never have been my M.O. That just wasn't me. So God had to twist my arm to get me to do it. But I answered the call to preach while I was sharing. And then I preached the rest of it. But I was flipping through my Bible and I came to that part in Timothy. Where Paul said he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And right then when I was speaking to the people, our pastor wasn't there at that time, but he had me to preach share while I was there. And I stopped while I was pre-sharing. And I said, God has called me to preach. And I'm telling you, peace came over my soul. Started dating a young lady, met her in church, bus ministry meeting. So who's that young lady? That little teenager sitting right over there. We met at a bus ministry meeting in church. Hey, man, I didn't find her out in the club. She's part of the bus club, amen. She was working a bus route. I was working a bus route. That's a marriage made in heaven, amen. But I met my wife in church, 1983. 1984, while in church, God spoke to both of our hearts about becoming missionaries. 1984, both of us there in church, got home. I said, did God speak to you about something? She said, mm-hmm. Did God speak to you? I said, mm-hmm. Okay, what did God speak to you about? And vice versa. And both of us said, God spoke to us about becoming missionaries. And we eventually joined Death on the Life Ministries with Evangelist Ed Carter. 1988, God called us off the Piedmont Bible College. Say, how'd you get your call? In church. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on. It's important to be in the house of God. The majority of your major decisions that you will make in life will come while you're in God's house. And be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Don't stay at home to study. Don't stay at home to study. If you stay at home to study, you know what you ought to happen. You ought to fail. I didn't say I'm going to pray for you to fail. I just say you ought to. Amen. Don't stay at home to study. You stay up all night if you have to. And study all night if you have to. But don't miss church in order to study. See, we have to. A successful person is someone who will do the will of God. Here's the third thing. Number one, a successful person is a saved person. Number two, a successful person will do the will of God. Number three, a successful person, and notice the way I'm phrasing this, a successful person will try to win others to the Lord. A successful person will try to win others to the Lord. Notice chapter 7 of the book of Genesis, verse 5 down through verse number 7. Chapter 7, verse 5 down through verse number 7. And by the way, before I even read the scripture, I've shared a number of times how we even came to take over fellowship. That was in church. Even though the church had already voted us in, I still didn't know if God didn't want us here, I didn't want to be here. And I was in church. My wife and I, we were praying, God, do you want us to stay? You want us to go? We were over there at Gospel Light at the time. Do you want us to stay here? Do you want us to go? And the preacher got up and preached on, ye have dwelt here long enough. Time for you to get out here and do what God wants you to do. My wife looked at me and she said, you got what you answered. And I said, I certainly did. You've heard me tell that story. Your major decision in life, now that was on a Wednesday night. What if we had to stay? Well, we'll stay home and pray and try to determine what God's will is. No, we prayed before we came to the house of God. God, I've got to know this thing is on the line. I've got to let them know. Do you want me to stay or go? God said, get out of here. You've dwelt around this mountain long enough. Notice verse 7, verse 5 down through verse number 7, trying to win others to Christ. Notice, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. The world around Noah was lost. Noah tried to win people to God. Say, how do you know that? 2 Peter 2:5 calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. That meant that Noah would have been sharing and warning people and about the impending judgment and sharing with people what they need to do. But only eight, that was it, eight went into the ark. But see, Noah was still a success because he told the story. And see, when you tell what thus saith the Lord and you try to win people to the Lord, you are a success. Whether you win them or not, they have no excuse. See, here's the key, because see, if we always base things, if I've said just on performance, in other words, if we only base it upon seeing someone saved, then after a while you'll stop. But if you get joy just from telling the story, joy just from sharing, and understand that you're operating in the will of God, because everything that God wants us to do is setting up for the judgment. Every sermon we preach is setting up for the judgment. Every time you share truth, you're preparing for the judgment. That's why we're supposed to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And if we follow that command, that means that 33% of our messages ought to be exhortation. 66% ought to be rebuke and reprove. Try to say that fast three times. Rebuke and reprove. Let me give you the scripture. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge both the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. God said, I'm going to judge. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own lust, their own desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And see, that's why we have to continue to communicate the word. And the more you share, the more you will see just how needy people are. And Noah shared, but only eight was saved. But at least he got his wife in. And he got his sons, all three of them, in. And he got his three daughter-in-laws in. I think he was a successful person. And see, when you share Christ, hey, you are a successful person. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5 says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Listen, Noah preached righteousness. And as a result of preaching righteousness, they heard They're without excuse. There are a lot of people out there who need truth. And aren't you glad today that you know the truth and you can share that with others? Because there are a lot of people, and God's already equipped us to be able to share. I don't think Brother Oscar back there will mind me sharing this. We were sharing this Sunday out there, and we were kind of laughing about it. But he said that this past Sunday, that he had a Russell light come to his door. He said he'd been waiting for one of them to come. Am I correct? He said he was waiting for one of them to come. He said, because he had all the scriptures and everything. He was just waiting. He said, by the time he got through with them, see, that person went skipping, getting away from there, amen. He got away from there fast. Amen. His mother was standing out there, and she said, and we didn't bid him Godspeed either. We didn't say have a good day either, amen. Let him have it. See, that person will never be able to stand before God and say, I was not told the truth. See, he can have joy in his soul. Why? Because he communicated truth. Truth. And there are a lot of people out there who need truth. And we ought to take these gospel tracts that we have. Well, I won't give that one away. Too close to my shirt. But some of you don't know what's going on there, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's wet, and amen, that's why it's like that. I won't give that one away. But listen, when we go out here and we share this gospel tract, and if you don't know how to lead someone to Christ, get the tract. Look at the tract and become very familiar with this and put this Romans road in your life and be able to share truth. I'm telling you, it's exciting to me now. And I'm not going to get off course because we're still dealing with this thing about sharing truth as Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But see, I'm telling you, I'm more excited now than I can ever remember except for when I was first saved as far as sharing Christ with people. Now I've got a purpose every single day that I get up. This is secondary. I put the time and I pray, but I'm telling you, this right here is number one. And I'm sharing this everywhere I go, and it's bringing joy to my soul and giving me story after story after story after story. I was just in Lowe's today. I gave this track to a lady. I said, listen, I want to give you something that'll change your life. I said, this track right here will show you what you need to do in order to go to heaven. So I know what to, she said, I know exactly what to do. She said, I'm already a Christian. I said, you are? I said, yeah. I said, so if you died right now, you know you're going to heaven. Mm-hmm. I said, how you going to heaven? Tell me. She said, well, when I die, the angel's going to come and get me. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, have you received Christ as your Savior? She said, yeah. She said, I just didn't understand your question. She said, I was trying to figure out how I was supposed to get to heaven. I told her, I said, what you need to do is trust Christ. She wasn't saved. You understand what I'm saying? She wasn't saved. A lot of times people tell you they're saved, but all you got to do is talk to them long enough, because they know the lingo. And you begin to ask them, and I can't get into it all, but you begin to talk to them, and you find out something not right. And I can tell you story after story after story after story, okay, as far as that. By the way, if somebody asks you, how do you get to heaven, what you going to tell them? Okay, all right, amen. Trust Christ your Savior. Somebody else help me out. How you get to heaven? Is that good enough? Am I right? That's all you need. So you don't get upset. I gave one to one person. Yeah, I'm saved. I don't need that. I'm saved. Okay, well, I said pass it on to somebody else. That's all right. I'm good. I was at Whole Foods. It's the same thing. Get one down. Now, Whole Foods, they got some strange looking people in Whole Foods. They do. I'm just serious. Strange looking people in Whole Foods. But they need the gospel too. They do. And there was a strange one that was there at the counter. But I said, I got to give her one. I got to give her one. Amen. But she was strange looking. I'm just telling you. And so I went the same thing. You know, I tell you, just change your life, so forth like that. And hand it to her. She said, I don't need that. She said, Mother Nature is who I worship. Okay. All right. Now you can go somewhere with that one. Mother, you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, it's exciting just to be able to share Christ. I was in the post office today, and I just lay there in the post office down there on right off of 2nd Street downtown. And you had a Hispanic lady was over here and white lady over here. And so I was in this line, so I gave her a track. By the way, I'm not looking for just black people. I'm giving to whomever. Amen. So she said, you know something? She said, I like the Romans Road. I just got through teaching on that. And she said, that's real good. And I said, so you're Christian? Yes. Trust Christ your Savior? Oh, yes, yes. And she said, without a shadow of a doubt, I know I'm going to heaven. She took the gospel track. You understand what I'm saying? See, saved people love it when somebody else give them something. Religious people get upset. I'm okay. I'm all right. Or you can hear a plethora of excuses. If somebody would give me a gospel track, man, I'm excited. We're going to have some fellowship. I was in Lowe's, gave another one a gospel track. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Kmart. Because they closing down. I'm just waiting for it to drop below 25%. Amen. I keep checking, amen. It's getting there, but it hadn't gotten there yet. So I walk in, look around, amen, and come back out. When you get to my price, let me see 50 and 75, then you'll get some of my money. But anyway. But I was there, and so I gave a lady, you know, one of these tracks, and I said, and she said, I'm saved. I said, what church do you attend? Well, I don't go to church. I said, okay. I said, well, if you say if you need to be in church, and by the way, I didn't get it like that, so don't think I'm crazy. But you understand what I'm saying? You can get a lot of good conversations. A successful person, you want to be a success, get you some tracks and just start passing them out. That's a successful person. If they get saved, great. My wife came in today. She was sharing because she said that down where you work out at, she said how she said she was able to speak to people down there. She said the man said he's going to get it, you know, his whole family and everybody together and just come to church. Amen. Did I get that right? Amen. Got it right. And just say you're going to get the whole family and just bring them out here to the church. And she told him about the Wednesday night service and the Sunday morning service. And so here's what I'm saying. Man, if we could just get out here and just share Christ, I don't care if your car coughs smoke. You're a successful person. You're a successful person. If you're out here sharing truth, he shared it for 120 years. Only 8 got saved, but as far as God was concerned, he was a success because he did what God wanted him to do, and he shared truth. Jesus said, in John 17, verse number 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. If you want to be a success, then do these things that God has called you to do and finish it. Finish it. Finish it. And God will consider you a success. If you want to be a success, do the will of God. Try to win others to Christ. Make sure, number one, that you're saved. And then I'm just going to, I've already had this in here, number 4, and I've already given you the scripture. Finish what God has called you to do. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7, go back there. Jesus said that he finished. Well, I wonder if Noah finished. Notice Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. We've already seen it in chapter 6, but notice in chapter 7, but notice Hebrews chapter 11, and notice verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 11, notice verse number 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He did what God wanted him to do. He finished it. God wanted him to prepare the ark, and he prepared the ark. He finished what God wanted him to do. And if you finish what God wants you to do, then God will consider you to be a success. I trust by God's grace tonight that you'll stop looking, and I don't know to whom I'm speaking, at the size of your house. I don't care if you stay in a one-bedroom apartment. If you're doing these four things that we told you about tonight and continue, you're a success. Stop looking at the kind of car that you drive. As long as you can get from point A to point B, give God the praise. Give God the praise. Some of you know, you look at our vehicles, they almost had a half a million miles. Say, when are you going to stop driving it? I'm going to stop driving it when it give up the ghost. And it's been on life support. But I've yelled, step, stand back, boom. After a while, it'll come back to life. I'm telling you, the family, they're praying. I think they might be praying and fasting. Hoping something will happen to it. A little bit of snow, they call them for a little ice park out there on the street. Amen. Don't somebody come by and tag it, amen. They don't care if it hit and run, amen, just so they can get something. I used to use the van as punishment. I did. You think I'm joking, but I did. Like car breakdown. Danielle be like, I need to get to school. I said, take the van. You can't be cool driving a van. Not that one. You can. Drive that van. That's all right. It may be different shades of color. And it is. I don't even wash it. I'll get me like a little towel sometimes. If it get too bad and just wipe it off. I could write on the window right now. Somebody could write and wash me. We were in what's the name of the store? What's the name of the store? Okay, good night. I'm trying to think of it down there from food from Big Lots. Dollar General. And gave a man a gospel tract. And he said, oh yeah, you preaching and so forth. And you know, talk to him. And he saw my wife and I, we were leaving. And he was walking across, like from there to some other little store or whatever. And he saw us. Waved at him. He said, hey! He said, you're no preacher. He was laughing, right? He was joking. You know, he was kind of a guy like to cut up. He said, you're no preacher. I know that's He said, every preacher I know, they be driving, they name some kind of big car and so forth. And I said, if you think this is something, you ought to see the other one. And he laughed. He said, you ain't no preacher driving something like that. You're not. My life is not wrapped up in the kind of car that I drive. You want to know a good car to drive? One that's paid for, amen? It's paid for. I don't have to make a payment on it, amen? Long as it gets me to church and back or wherever I need to go, I'm fine with it. Because my success is not wrapped up in my car. It's wrapped up in doing the will of God, serving him, trying to be a witness for him, and finishing what God's called me to do. You do that? You're a success regardless of where you live and what you drive. Amen? Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer.